At Best Western, when you stay 3 nights this summer, you earn 10,000 bonus points. And while you're reliving your summer childhood road trip memories, they're creating new ones. So check into any one of our more than 2,300 hotels and make more memories to look back on. Here, we'll set the scene. You put the low right on me. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for terms and conditions.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Connect, solve painful problems, raise amazing adults, and have healthy families. Welcome to the Sean Donahue Show. Jordan and I do this podcast because we want your family to be close and connected. And we want you to feel empowered and equipped in your most important job, the most important job in the world. Let's go deeper than this podcast. Head to my website, parentingmodernteens.com, and get my email straight to your inbox. And when you're ready to go deep and get serious coaching from me, join me in my VIP membership. Parents are teachers, and every home is a school. So teach well, love well. All right. Let's have some fun together.
How's it going, my fellow parents? You know, last week I had a ton of fun. Last week I was able to listen to Jordan talk about film and scare, traumatize, strict Disney parents. And the whole podcast just took on a whole adventure of its own that we weren't even planning on going in that direction. And then after the episode, I said, Jordan, that was so much fun. And here it is. It's summer in 2024. Let's kind of keep this going. Let's pick a film that's really popular that most people have seen. And let's talk about it. We'll do a little movie review, but we'll talk about it in a way that just helps parents feel educated, inspired, and learn from great art on film. And the movie Wonder was a big hit. And then it hit Netflix recently. So it gives you no excuse to watch the movie. So if you've seen the movie, great. You're going to enjoy this episode. And if you haven't yet, enjoy this episode, listen to this podcast, and then go and watch the movie. And it's going to be a great match.
You know what? I was talking to my wife about the podcast that we were doing, and you know, the idea of kind of going in depth about this movie. She goes, "That's so funny you guys are picking that movie, because I feel like this is a movie every parent should show their kids." Yeah. Like, everyone should see this movie as they are getting ready to go to school. Maybe they're older and they haven't seen it. As they're getting ready to go to college, whenever, at any stage of life, this will hit you in a different way, whether you're coming at it from a parent's perspective, or you're coming at it from a sibling perspective, or you're coming at it, maybe it's, you feel like August is you. Maybe you feel weird in your family and different, and this is just so brilliantly made.
You know, well said, because you can learn about any subject from some boring book that was maybe a school book that was printed in the 80s. But we have this platform called movies and YouTube, and it is so captivating and so good. So here's a little background on the movie Wonder. Came out in 2017. It's a coming-of-age drama film based on the 2012 novel of the same name by R.J. Palacio. It stars Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, and these amazing cast of kids. We're really going to talk mostly about the kids, because even though in the first part of the movie you see a lot of the parents, this is a movie about kids, and it follows this boy who has a serious facial disfigurement trying to fit in. His name is August, known as Augie, and also the movie really is a lot about his sister, Jordan, named Via. Via, which I think is short for Olivia. They call her Via.
Correct.
And it shows the storyline of a bunch of kids and the challenges that they face. And it's really captivating. It's a really type of tearjerker. I was like, there's no way I'm going to cry during this movie. Well, at the end of the movie, dude, I was crying, man. I had the tears last night. I watched it for the first time to get ready for this podcast.
It's just hard. I mean, there's so much of life that happens in this movie, whether it's from a bullying perspective, whether it's from, you know, trying to get your kids out the door to go play with friends or go to school, or you as a parent trying to take care of your family. That's what I'm saying. You could look at it from so many different angles, and it really touches, I feel like, every family in America can kind of learn something from this flick.
I agree. So what we're going to do today is Jordan and I are going to share from our own perspectives, our own parents' perspective, three parenting lessons from the movie Wonder. Let me just jog your memory and to help you remember the film if it's old for you. So this kid, he's really homeschooled, and he's very sheltered from the outside world because his parents know how cruel kids can be. They're afraid of him getting bullied. He's had 17 facial surgeries on his face. And when he goes out in public, he often wears a spaceship mask because he just gets sick of people staring at him and giving him looks. And in this, some of the main other characters is he does make a friend. I'm not just be a spoiler-free review, mostly spoiler-free. That's our goal. And his first friend is named Jack Will. There's kind of another kid in the scene who's kind of turns out to be kind of the bullying character. His name is, the character is called Julian Albums. One of my favorite characters is the sister's friend. We'll talk about her. Her name is Miranda Neva. And we'll talk about her review. Anyways, the movie has got really great reviews from critics and audiences, praising the actors' performances and really the faithfulness to the film. And this is a really interesting film. It was only made on $20 million, which is nothing. That's like a Julia Roberts salary on a normal day. And it grossed, not a big surprise, $306 million worldwide. And it the Academy Awards were nominated for makeup and hairstyling. Jordan, let's do this.
Yeah. You know, and I'm just kind of thinking as you were talking about the description, you know, different movies that might reflect this. I don't know if anyone remembers the Elephant Man movie as a movie back in the 1980s that came out and is actually based off the late 19th century about a guy who was totally disfigured and society did not accept him. And this is kind of similar to that. I mean, Augie looks more alike than not, right? He's disfigured a bit, and you could totally tell in the movie, but in the book, you had to kind of visualize it. And it just shows us, you know, how society reacts to differences, right? Yes, what were we told as kids? Sean, don't stare.
Don't stare.
And now, as I'm getting older, it's changed to go say hi. Yeah. Right? Don't only, if you're going to stare, that's fine, but go say hi. Right. And so when we were taught don't stare, that was almost like don't talk to him. Don't make friends.
It creates more fear.
Acknowledge. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's like person doesn't feel human. Don't see them. Gosh. And so this, I think, helps us realize that we're more alike than different, which I'll get to in one of my topics.
Yeah. We're about to hear your first one. I'd love to hear your first parent takeaway. So, yeah, some of the themes that it covers is bullying, physical differences, being a sibling of a brother or a sister with significant differences, being a parent of a child with differences, acceptance, betrayal, empathy, forgiveness, emotional pain, family connection, popularity, peer pressure, inner person versus outer person, courage, kindness, and friendship. And then I'll share some of these great quotes. So Jordan, tell us which one of your parenting takeaways.
All right, so I'm going to go off of the one I just talked about. There's a hashtag out there called More Alike Than Different. And what I think a lot of us need to realize is no matter what people's differences are, we are actually more alike than we are different. Now, we highlight the differences, and society sometimes highlights those differences to make them less than or different than the typical crowd. But the reality is, we're all human beings with souls living on this planet, and we're all more alike than not. No matter if you're disfigured, if you're crippled, you are blind, you're deaf, you have a disability, whatever it is. And so I think that's important for us to realize as adults. It's important for us to instill into our children that, like, no matter what people are doing, if you agree with it, if you don't, even if it's a decision they're making or how they look, you need to treat them with respect as a human being. And I think that point gets across in this movie when it comes to bullying and friendships and family.
Gosh, that's really articulate. Very well said. I'm going to remember that for my second point that came out from what I wanted to share. More alike than different. Yeah, that is something that, like, when we were, growing up, that's not kind of the theme that I would, the cultural theme that I was really raised in. It was kind of more of that, you know, don't stare. And, you know what, there's these you know, phrases that really people use casually that really bother me. Like sometimes people joke about there's certain neighborhoods, like, hey, that's where the rich people is, or that's the ghetto neighborhood, or I get shot in that neighborhood. I despise these comments. It really gets under my craw because it's so judgmental. It's so messed up, but it's also just, if you said to a child, you're like, talk about a stereotypical, you're putting these images in their head of, and that are essentially going to lead to fear. Cause it's like, oh, that's where the rich people live. You're like, it's like, yeah, oh, I don't relate to them. Those are mean people. They don't care about anyone. They're just so greedy. Or if you say that's like ghetto, you're just like, you're just casting this horrible image or this, you know, upon a young child to stereotype and be afraid of somebody or a neighborhood,
right,
or a whole group of people who live in a neighborhood that's different than you. It just really bothers
yeah.
me.
And you got to think, we live in America where we're a melting pot of different societies and different countries with different religious yeah. backgrounds all across the globe. Mm-hmm. And we're all trying to be here with this one idea of like what it means to be an American. But the reality yeah. is we all come with different backgrounds. So naturally, yeah. we tend to flock to maybe right. our group with whatever yeah. we think our group is. But what yeah. Sean and I are trying to say is go beyond that and look at them for the human element, who they are,
yeah,
and
buddy.
The fact that we're all here with this gift of life, walking around trying to figure out what the heck we're supposed to be doing.
Well, here's something that we can all relate with. I got my first point. Because the movie really, in the beginning of the movie, it really seems like this is going to be a family movie. And it definitely
yeah.
is. But here's my first point. All right. Takeaways from the movie Wonders. You cannot and should not save your children from their problems.
Ooh, that's deep. Because the parents really try to. They're scared to let their kid go to school. Augie really right. wants to go to school and be a typical child. And they're like, well, we need to protect you.
So I actually Googled. Hold on. Let me jump in. I Googled what you said because I don't remember if Augie wanted to go to school or not. So I Googled it this morning.
Okay.
And no, he didn't want to go to school. He didn't.
Oh, and they pushed him to school.
They did. Yep. That's a direct quote. Like, he did not want to go to school. Augie hates the idea of school. He worries he's going to get called names. But his parents persuade him first to visit school to meet the head teacher and those kids. And then they pretty much push him into the school. But what they did is, you know, they homeschooled him for so much of his life. And then they're like, okay, it's time to push you into society. But this is a huge sensitive topic, Jordan, because homeschooling is on the rise. We've got a lot of parents who are trying to intervene and save their kids from pain or from woundedness or getting trauma or bullied. These are good-hearted parents that want to protect their
right.
kids. We talked about
right.
that last week with Marlin from the movie Finding Nemo, from
right.
King Triton doesn't want his daughters getting up in the surface to get
right.
killed. So it's
right.
like, what are you saying, Sean? I mean, if I'm King Triton, am I going to let my teen daughters go up there and get killed and captured by humans? So, but this is the theme of the movie. They push this boy into school.
I think the hard part for us, that, I mean, that's a really great message that they did that. And I'm trying to think of like an eagle sits on this egg for a long time before the thing hatches and goes out
right.
and gets food for it, feeds it. And
yeah.
of course, at a certain point, the eagle says, okay, time for you to leave, yo. You know, like
yeah. Yeah.
for us, it's supposed to be when we're 18, we're supposed to leave and go be on our own. And now kids are still coming back and living in the house. And it's like, parents are like,
yeah.
no, you need to go. Okay, get out, go fly.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard for us, because as parents, let's say we do push our kids to go to sleepaway camp for the first time, to do a sleepover with a friend that we're not sure about,
join
the parents,
a sports
to
team, go to
join
a church,
sports
youth
team,
group,
whatever
Boy
it is,
Scouts, whatever.
We have this fear, like, what if we did something that ultimately impacted our child down
right.
the road? Right.
Or what if they're not ready? What if they go to a school and they get bullied and they're like, no, you have to stay in the school. You have to push
right.
through. And then now they're getting traumatized and they're afraid they're going to take their life or hurt themselves.
Sure
I know
thing.
It just get dark.
Exactly.
So like,
exactly, though.
This is why it's good to talk about this, because people don't really talk about this. So you've obviously heard the term helicopter parenting.
Correct.
What do you think of when you hear that term? What do you think of?
You just hover. These parents hover. All the time. Just making
now,
decisions about
you,
for them.
Have you heard of the term lawnmower parenting?
No, but I've seen your lawn mowing dance moves when you pretend you're in the shopping center. And you're
you know, you're like a 90s, early 2000 baby if you do that lawnmower dance. Now, lawnmower parenting is like, which means like you mow over your kids' problems. Like you're like, you're so futuristic. You look at their problems. You're like, I'm going to solve this for you. But these are terms that I have an image. You gave us an image. I've got two images for you that I think are really kind of emotional. All right. You ready for this?
Yes.
All right. What does that mean? You cannot and should not save your children from your problems. All right. It means you cannot, first of all. You can't. It's going to happen. I mean, if you homeschool your kid and keep them cooped up in the house, they're going to have problems, major problems with society, mm-hmm. and they're going to be screen addicts. They're going to be pale as can be. They're going to have problems with their health and society. If you put them out in public or private school, they're going to have problems too. You agree with me? You
yes,
cannot
I do.
And you should not. Well, what do you mean, Sean? You're the family coach. He means I'm a good parent. I went through so much pain as a kid. No one was there to me. I want to save my kids from their problems. All right, think again. Think again. Here's an image. Tell me your thoughts. If you like it, tell me. If you hate it, tell me. All right, you're a lifeguard. What's a lifeguard's job, Jordan?
Keep people from drowning.
Let's go beach lifeguard. Oh. Image, what's your beach lifeguard? What's your job?
And to wear a red bathing suit, run up and down, sweaty,
short shorts,
flipping their hair, looking great.
Dude, one of my biggest regrets in life is Jordan and I were surfing in Hawaii, and I was like, Jordan, we need to get matching red short shorts.
Yeah,
we did.
We talked about that.
We talked about it, but I couldn't afford it because I was like 23 years old, and they were like $50, and we didn't get them, and
I
regret it till the day.
I would still wear them today if I got them. The reality is, the lifeguard is supposed to keep you guys who are going in mm-hmm. the ocean aware of rip currents. Mm-hmm. If there is a danger, let you know about the danger. And if someone needs rescue, they got to go rescue you.
They got to save you.
Save you.
So the moral of, it seems to me, this is just my opinion. I want to be corrected if I'm off. The moral of the movie Wonder, which really exemplifies amazing parenting and family leadership, is you push your kid out in the ocean and they're getting hurt.
Mm.
And you're the lifeguard, and you don't go out there. You don't save them. You let them suffer. I mean, isn't that what we're talking about here? Isn't that what happens in the movie Wonder?
But that doesn't happen in normal life.
Mm-hmm. But this is a podcast about the movie Wonder and good parenting, and isn't that a part of good parenting? You seeing yourself as a lifeguard, but not leaving the lifeguard tower at times.
Right.
That's an image, huh? That's kind of dark, isn't it?
It is.
Is it kind of sad?
We don't know. I don't want to make the bad decision of pushing them too hard. Now, I want to push my kids. Don't get me wrong. No, we're doing this. I'm going to teach you how to swim in the ocean. We're going to go under the waves or mm-hmm. whatever it is, whatever your ocean in life is. We always say to these kids who are, let's say, 2 years old, walking down the stairs, be careful. Don't fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Why are we not saying, hey, be mindful. Keep an eye out. Right?
So like, here's another image. It really affects me when I had a little baby and I was giving the baby a bath and some of the soap got into my kid's eyes.
And started being that's the pain. Worst. I hate it.
It hurts me.
Dunk them underwater and wash it out.
No, it hurts me, right? And then it hurts me again because now they're crying because they have water all over their face. They can't breathe. They're like,
right.
It hurts me. I hate that. But the theme of the movie Wonder is you cannot and should not save your children from your problems. It's like these parents know their kids are out there in the waves, in the dark waves, and they're getting soap in their eyes, and they wisely do not save their kids. They do not step in. They do something else, but they don't save them. And that is, I think, a big message of the movie Wonder, and that is good parenting. Now, does that mean you sometimes have to swim out to the ocean and say, nope, you're coming in. You can't be out here by yourself. Of course, that's what you have to do. Do your kids sometimes need saving out in the ocean? Of course. This is not a black or white thing. I'm just talking about the movie and some bullet points. All right, what's your number two?
All right, so my number two is, let me see. All right, well, a big one, obviously, is a big theme of the whole movie, and you probably have this one too. But it's choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
A lot of the movie will show you good versus bad. Yes. It'll even show you someone who's pretending to be good, but maybe not, right? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Augie's friend and how he gets caught by saying something bad, and Augie hears him. Like, I'm not really friends with him. I'm forced to be friends with him. So it really shows you who's truly kind and wanting to know who he is for who he is versus the bully versus someone pretending to be his friend. And then, of course, that's just from the school's perspective. And I think for all of us, again, no matter what someone's background is, let's even go off of disformities, let's go off of disabilities or different abilities. Let's just go off of a belief system. Someone's living a way that you don't believe.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it right for you to be mean. You can still stay kind and choose kindness and move on. But you
don't
have to be
mean. There's a couple
quotes
about that from the movie. When given the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind. Another quote. It's not enough to be friendly. You have to be a friend. This is a theme.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
You know what I found happens in marriage a lot is that we really want to be right. And we argue with each other about, no, this is the way it is. And that's not what happened. This is the way it happened. And then when you're arguing to be right, you're not kind, and then everyone loses, right? You're trying to win an argument about your perspective or how you saw things, and you don't convince the other person, you don't change them, and then everyone loses.
So what do you do?
Well, you do what this quote says, when given the choice between being right or being kind.
Just be
kind. It's like, you know what? I love you, honey, and let's not argue about this.
Let's not argue. Big deal.
You're my girl. And like, look, if you saw it that way, that's okay. I'll try to, you know, and I saw it differently.
Right.
Or you know what? I don't want to, you know, you're more important to me than this, than how many French fries were eaten. Right? Maybe I did have too many. I didn't feel like I only had two or three. This is what this is about. Like stupid stuff. French fries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, what color was that? Oh, it was a pink color. No, it wasn't. It was maroon. That's the same thing. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Pink and maroon are in the same. Look at a color rainbow right now. Let's Google it, right? That's what we do.
Right. Unless, I get what you're saying. A lot of the times when we bicker, it's just about the dumbest stuff.
Right.
But go back to your other one. You said, be a friend. Don't just be friendly. What's the quote?
It's not enough to be friendly. You have to be a friend. That is really deep.
That is really deep. In fact, I was just looking at Twitter this morning. Or X, whatever you want to call it these days.
Yep. Yeah.
And I saw a colleague of mine tweeted out something. It says, hey, honest question. How do you make friends as an adult? I'm having a very tough time. On the weekends, I sit and all I'm waiting for is Monday to roll around so I can have friends again at work.
Oh my gosh. So
and I'm
common.
Like,
that's vulnerability.
And we're always friendly. And I'm like, oh, no, that's, but that quote really rings a bell. Like, be a friend. Don't just be friendly.
Dang, that is right. Be a
friend.
And
it's hard to see that.
Don't
like,
be friendly. That is really a key theme.
And I think that goes back to what we started off in the podcast by talking about when it was like when we were kids, like, don't stare, which means I can't even talk to him, to now saying, go say hi. At least you're starting a conversation. And maybe that'll lead to you being friends.
Yeah, man. Yeah, love it. I used to teach when I was spending a lot of time mentoring teenagers when I was younger, I always tell them, hey, you know who your true friends are because they'll visit you in the hospital and they'll help you and they'll help you move.
As long as you bring them pizza and beer. Just teasing.
What's your second takeaway? Because I got a client story that I'll tell you about after you do your second one.
Well, that was my second one. Choose kindness.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to build
on
that.
Your second
Let me
one.
Take my first point and I'm going to build into kindness. This is why parenting is such a dance, and it can be very complicated. Because how do we do this with parents? How do we balance not saving our kids from their problems with being kind? Because we can sometimes think like, oh, it's kind of me to save my kids, to step in. My kid has anxiety. My kid has trauma. My kid's been bullied. My kid has a narcissistic parent. My kid has these special needs. My kid. I want to be kind to my kid. I want to put them in a platform of success. But this can be very confusing. Here's a short story that I just experienced. So I had a consult call with a mother. I'm not going to name names. And we'll just make up a state. We'll say this mom is coming out of Ohio. And she says to me, Sean, I need some help. My son is 12 and has not left the house for 2 months. Actually, that's wrong. He left the house one time to go to the movies in the last 2 months.
Can I stop? Is this common? Do you?
Yes.
Because you've shared an example similar to this before. These kids just don't leave the house?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing?
Yeah, well, in my world, they're common. So, yeah. So
they're in the virtual world, probably, on VR stuff.
What are they doing? Different reasons. Mainly because they've had some issues out in society. Like maybe making friends, or maybe they were bullied, or maybe they have anxiety, or maybe they just don't want to go to school. This is normally those themes, right?
Okay. All right.
And then what happens is the parent wants to be kind, and so the parent then either lets them to not go to school and then play on screens, watch TV, read books, or the parent homeschools them. And then oftentimes in these situations, these kids are actually not a candidate for homeschooling, so they don't even do any homeschooling.
Got it. They're just sitting around.
So this kid is refusing homeschooling as well, too. And then every parent from there is, they don't have the skill set they need, so they go into panic mode, and they do this, or they do that, or they do this. They do all these things that are normally ineffective with their kid. One of the things that I call it anxietal defiance. And this is a dark drama we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the kid doesn't leave the school, so essentially what he's happening, he's not even being defiant towards his mother, single mother. He's being defiant towards society. He's being dropped out of society. This is not good, right?
No, so this parent, I got so many questions about the parent.
Bribing. She was trying to bribe him. So the last time I got him out of the house, I had to bribe him to go to the movies. I'm like, please, let's go to an arcade. Let's go here and let's go there. And it's all bribed around screen-based, which obviously tells you a lot about what's going on in the house.
But you got him out.
And so then I tried to be very gentle and caring, because that's what one of the themes of Wonder is, gentleness, kindness.
Correct.
And essentially the message was that I gave to this mother is, look, you need help. You need parent coaching. You need counseling. Because essentially what the mother is doing is she's enabling this. She's funding it.
Really?
She is doing the opposite of what Julia Roberts did in the movie Wonder, right?
And I was going to ask, you know, from a mother's perspective, if she really wants the kid out and about, can she not physically just get him out? I'm assuming, but a 12-year-old might be bigger than her. She might not have the force, or
and
even like, hey, let's go buy you a new Switch, and then you drop him off at a 3-month overnight camp and say, see you later, and you drive away.
It's super complicated. Right. Well, that could be super traumatic, but I mean, the mother has good reason for doing this, because the kid was having diarrhea at school.
Okay.
Almost every day.
Okay.
So she's got a good heart. And she's like, okay, well, let me try homeschooling.
Okay.
But this is the thing. If the lifeguard's job is to go save people, what happens if you save them, but then they don't want to go back in the ocean again?
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of the metaphor. That's the theme of the movie Wonder, is that they created such a loving home, EQ-based home life, but they did so many good things right that when they said, okay, we're the eagle now, it's time for you to fly, the kid was like, okay, I trust you. I'm ready to fly, right?
It was hard, though. In the movie itself, there's so much turbidity to that experience and sadness that came with it, with the bullying. And so I get why these parents want to be protective. But what Sean is saying is like, you gotta let him go.
Oh,
you gotta force
them
to do things that makes you uncomfortable as a parent, not just them.
Here's something that no one has probably ever talked about in the history of the movie Wonder. You ready for this? If you are going to go watch this movie again on Netflix, look for this. There was no screens in Wonder, Jordan. There's no iPads. There's no cell phones. There's no Switches, PS4s. If you were to put a screen in front of that kid, Augie, do you realize that we would not have a movie called Wonder?
Correct.
It would not have happened.
You would have
been a kid who is... He's 18 years old and he hasn't left the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what would have happened, because he's so addicted to a screen and he's so afraid. And the parents are like, all of his friends are online. All of his friends are online.
I'm so worried about the next 50 years. I mean, with the idea of virtual reality and how many people, I mean, that Ready Player One movie will really open your eyes. So like, my goodness, the whole society could be living in this digital realm. And I feel like us as parents right now, it is so important for us to try and counter that as much as possible, because then you're not really living.
Yep. We don't allow our 8-year old on any YouTube or any like social media. But last night, I think I was letting her watch me watch on Reels on Instagram, and a Reel came over, and essentially it was a teen girl, and she's saying, guys, have you seen pictures of people at the beach in the 70s and 80s? Look at these pictures. And it showed
and they're fit.
The beach is filled with everyone's fit.
Yeah.
And then she said, this is what we see now. And then my 8-year old's like, Dad, this is like what they talked about in the movie WALL-E.
That's so true. The they WALL-E, did.
They were so lazy. They're That's all physically right. unhealthy, emotionally unhealthy, and they're all lazy, and they're all requiring devices, and they've lost the human experience. They're addicted to crack junk food. And That's I was sad. Like, yeah, honey. And I said, well, you know, who do you want to be? Do you want to be like someone who is addicted to screens and on screens all the time? I was thinking of you, man, when I said it. Because you said in a podcast like a month ago, you said, so your kid, who do you want to be? And I was thinking of you,
Jordan. Oh, yeah, that's right, I did.
And who do you want to be? Do you want to be one of those kids addicted to screens? You know what it was? It was, and then what it was soon after that, it was there's this like carousel of pictures, and it showed these artists being kids in the 60s, and they're wearing 60s outfits, and there's no screens. Kids in the 70s, they're wearing tie-dye. Yeah. And you keep scrolling, 80s, 90s. See, screens are introduced in the 2000s. Uh-huh. Only a couple kids are on screens. And then it showed 2020s, every kid staring down, right? And it's kind of a dark picture of society. So what's your next takeaway from the movie Wonder? Let's keep
okay,
going.
My next takeaway is a big one, and it comes from the sister's point of view. So Olivia here, you know, what I love about Olivia is she is a sister who loves her brother so much. She stands up for August. Yes. But I got to tell you something about Olivia. She is somewhat neglected. And I think about this in my family all the time because I have a kid with special needs. And I wonder if my twins feel neglected because a lot of our time goes to our son. And there's a quote in here. She says, August is the sun, me and mom and dad are planets orbiting the sun. So she basically has to learn to care for herself because her parents are kind of neglecting her, which I get really because you have this other child with special needs who needs special attention. The problem is when it takes it away from the other kid or kids.
Yes.
And sometimes, even if you have all typical children, you parents who have a favorite child, you got to be
more
careful.
Synergy or connection with that
child. You got to be careful with that.
Yes.
And I feel for her. In fact, right before this podcast, I asked my son, I'm like, hey, do you feel neglected, bro? Like, we try to do our best to go to everything that he does and then my other daughter, everything she does. Yeah. But I want to make sure we stay open with them because I worry about a situation like this happening.
Wow, this is so good. And what's really interesting about our show today, Jordan, is that everyone listening, Jordan and I did not compare notes before we do this. We like to just be spontaneous. But my next point, my number two takeaway from the movie Wonder coincides with what you just said.
Really? Okay?
Yes.
It's so important, for a family dynamic.
Think of the sister who's kind of feeling, Jordan used, neglected or ignored or unseen as you listen to this. Ready? Parenting is hard and painful when you're not psychic, a mind reader, or you have your kids on one of those freaky dog leashes that you see at the amusement parks.
Yeah, I've seen those. So sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I had one of those.
Parenting is really hard and painful when you're not psychic or a mind reader and you don't have one of your kids in one of those freaky dog leashes at the amusement park.
Yeah.
So let me explain.
They have a mind of their own.
The daughter is really hurting.
Yeah.
She gets kind of dissed by her best friend and she comes back for school. It's like, hey, you know, she has one friend. She's like, this is my favorite person. And her best friend kind of leaves her. And so she's lonely. She's disenchanted. She's feeling unseen at school. She's feeling unseen in her family. And then her parents check in with her. So I'm going to argue with you. You say she's being neglected, which is partially true. But they say, how you doing, honey? How was your first day of school? And she lies.
Right. Well, I mean,
She says it was great. It wasn't great.
All kids lie. All kids don't want to talk about that stuff. Even if the parents check in, it's not like they're going to be like, yeah.
I know, this is my point. I'm not. Are you psychic or can you read minds?
No.
Me neither.
I can't.
So the truth is that unless you're psychic, you can read minds. Obviously, we're joking. That doesn't exist. It's painful because you never really know exactly what's going on with your kids. And they're out there swimming in the ocean. They could be getting bit by little sharks. They could be getting bit by big sharks. They could be getting stung by the jellyfish. And it's just really hard. But part of good parenting is just that letting go and how you manage that letting go, how you manage that fear, how you manage that pain, how you respond to it really matters. So I have a, the takeaway to this is not negative because I'm not done with the point two. Here's the point two. Ready?
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
At Best Western, when you stay three nights this summer, you earn 10,000 bonus points. And while you're reliving your summer childhood road trip memories, they're creating new ones. So check into any one of our more than 2,300 hotels and make more memories to look back on. Here, we'll set the scene.
You put the low right on me.
Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for terms and conditions.
Let me read it again. It's a little long. You get the joke with those freaky dog leashes. I saw one the other day. I was like, dude, come on, man.
On
like,
a kid? Someone had it on their kid?
It's like, I mean, come on. Like, okay, I'm trying not to judge you. I don't know that kid. Maybe he's neurodivergent, but I still never get used to that. Here it comes. Parenting is hard and painful when you're not psychic, a mind reader, or you have one of your kids on one of those freaky dog leashes you see at the amusement parks, and connection is the way.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, okay, so what can we do about that? And then I remember from a podcast you talked about a while ago how you do these like dates with your daughters individually sometimes.
Yeah.
And you'll take them out for ice cream or you'll go and do something. And sometimes I get to do that. It doesn't happen as much because whenever I have free time, I like to spend it with my entire family instead of just one kid. But there have been times where I'll take my daughter out in the woods or take my son out, you know, and it's fun. It's cool. And it gives you that time to like just chat. And what's important about those, I'll tell you right now, is when you don't allow them in the car with tech, because then they'll just not talk to you. Yeah. But if you just roll the window down and just start chatting, it's so funny some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Dude, this last weekend, we're recording this and it was around Father's Day. So we took our boat out and my wife and my daughter were on the tube and I was pulling them, right?
Oh, fun.
And my wife, it was so fun. And my wife comes back. She goes, oh my gosh, the commentary from our daughter was so funny. Like I'm sitting there, we're bouncing on these waves and she's like, well, if I was a monkey right now and I had hands like feet, I wouldn't bump around, like just the funniest things coming out of her mouth. And it's sometimes funny that we don't really know who our kids are. Our kids can be really funny people.
Yes. Right. It's almost like, let me say the same thing in a different way. I've got good news, bad news. What do you want first? Oh, the bad news.
Okay.
Life is a choppy ocean and our kids are going to go out there and they're going to get hurt. Here's good news. Connection is the answer. There'll be times when they swim out on the beach and you'll have some alone time with them, family dinners, one-on-one time. And there's times when they let you swim out in the ocean and swim with them.
Yeah,
there's times they're going to let you enter their world. There's times they might come into your world and join you for at the Cherry Festival or doing some stupid adult stuff that we like doing. Connection is the answer. And that's what wonder really shows. So much of wonder, I'm gonna hit this with my next point. So much of the beauty of wonder happens before the movie starts. In the first 20 minutes, you see this family having family dinners. You see the parents being very gentle with each other and with the kids. You see laughter.
Correct.
You see a lot of persistence. You see the child reacting at the dinner table and the parents do not join the circus. They don't react back. The reason why the kids have
don't take the bait.
So much love is because of what happened in their first 17 years of being parented.
Right.
It's the connection of the family. And that's partly why the girl probably, like, when you saw the teen daughter starting to date her, the boyfriend who had the, like, the violin or the banjo, mm-hmm. were you concerned that they were going to go down a dark path and they were going to do shady stuff as teenagers? Were you concerned about that?
I'm always concerned about stuff like that, though.
I was, too. I was like, oh, he looks so sweet. He's such a handsome boy. He's got glasses. Is he going to turn her bad because she's vulnerable? And he didn't. So what happens is this girl was shown a picture of emotional health from her own dad and her own home. So mm-hmm. then she picked a boyfriend of emotional health, even though she was really hurting.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. That doesn't mean, you know, like if your daughter picks a shady boyfriend, doesn't mean you're a bad dad. It just is, it's a movie. It's a Hollywood movie, but that is the takeaway.
I have one more big point I want to get to before we wrap this up, but to kind of go over mine again, remember, we're more alike than different. Choose kindness. That was my point number two. And then, of course, the sister dynamic and how she felt neglected and why it's important to make sure you are wise and mindful with all your kids. Okay, the next one I want to talk about is kind of like the elephant in the room here that we really didn't discuss,
awesome.
And it's the bully dynamic. Right?
Yeah.
It's the big, mean bully who ultimately gets punched in the face by Augie's friend.
Yeah.
But what do you tell your kid who's getting bullied? What do you tell your clients who say, hey, my kids are getting bullied and there's one who just won't stop? When I was a kid, I remember my dad saying, hey, if a bully ever talks to you and is mean to you, you have my permission to punch him in the stomach and say, next time it'll be your face. That never happened. I was a chameleon. Okay. I didn't want to get in a fight. I never, but it was like my dad trying to say, hey, don't let anyone walk all over you.
Yes.
So how do we advise parents who have kids that have, like, let's just say one bully that will not stop?
Let's do it.
Because ultimately we want to just remove them from the school and say, we'll go to a different school.
Yeah. Here's what I know doesn't work. Because I've actually done school assemblies on bullying. And I remember one time I did a big assembly on bullying, and this sweet little boy is in elementary school, probably fourth grade. He said, you know, I really need help because those boys over there, they bully me every day.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad.
Sweet boys. And I look over at the boys and they look like sweet boys, like five or six boys.
Okay.
I was like, so I just listened for a little bit and I connected with them. And then I asked him, so who's been helping you with this? He says, my mom. Okay, what advice has she been giving you? And she says, well, she's telling me to ignore it. That doesn't work.
Yep, that's advice that people give too.
That doesn't work.
Okay.
It doesn't work. Sometimes, oftentimes, this advice also doesn't work. Just be kind to them. That doesn't work either.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Kill them with kindness. That term doesn't work?
It sure can work. It sure can work. But sometimes it doesn't work because bullies
then you might
have
be a pushover.
Right. They have their own motivations.
Yeah.
They have their social reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, hurt people have different reasons. And so sometimes that doesn't work. So the moral of the story is we need to equip our kids with numerous skills for their toolbox if they're experiencing bullying. Because what often also doesn't work is you need to go tell your teacher. Now, this might work if your kid is like in third grade or younger, but do you think that your, you know, seventh grade, like, boy go tattletaling to the teacher is going to solve that problem? It's not. It might even make it worse.
I mean, some of these bullies.
An example of lawnmower parenting right there. It's like you've got to, instead of saving your kids from bullying, you need to equip them with the tools they need to stand up to themselves to bullies.
The hard part is how do you do it without creating huge conflict, because sometimes these bullies, they just want you to push their button so they can swing at you first.
I know,
right? They're really hurting,
so
and they really want to hurt you.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, there's no one way to deal with a bully. Like, there's some awesome YouTube videos about how this one guy coaches kids in a school assembly on a stage about how to use kindness and kind confrontation to stop the bullying.
Okay, I like that.
Kind confrontation.
That's
so you
good.
Like bullying me, huh?
Yeah.
Is it fun for you? Yeah. Right. Well, I don't know. It's kind of fun for me too. You can keep doing it if you like.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone noticing this? This guy's bullying me right now. Are you having fun with it?
Yeah. Because eventually he gets embarrassed and stops.
Yeah. It's like, hey, it doesn't bother me. I'm strong. I'm confrontational, but that could work with some bullies and that might give you a knuckle sandwich with others.
Right.
But that's essentially good. What it takes is, you know, bullying is really based on fear. So it would take a lot of courage or a lot of strength for a child, a girl, to stand up to a bully. And, you know, what about teen girls? You know, can you imagine a sophomore in high school saying that to another sophomore? Are you like bullying me? Like,
right.
Yes and no. It's all about cultural. Every kid is so different.
Gosh, so, it's so
you know,
hard.
I think one of the good things to teach for boys, and I would say this for girls too, is, you know, you've got to use your words first. You've got to use your words, strong words first.
Right.
And if needed, do not be afraid to use your hands. But it's like this balance where, like, we want to teach our kids to be strong and physical, and if needed, right? Whether they're predators or bad people.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't it make sense? We've got to teach them to use their words first.
And I'm going to tell you guys what I did when I was a kid, because I was getting bullied a little bit by some people.
Okay, okay.
I made sure I had all my big, large friends around me all the time.
yeah.
Because eventually the bully that was bullying me saw who I was hanging with and stopped bullying me. And I was like, there you go. And I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, that's a really, really good tactic too. Like, here's another tactic. Oftentimes people bully when they just dehumanize the child. So when the child is seen around their siblings or even their more friends or around even their own parents, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm bullying this kid, but this kid has a family who loves them.
Right.
And that this family was just nice to me and they were kind to me.
Right.
Versus like you going up to like some fifth grade kid, hey, you touch my kid, I'm coming after you. Like, it's weird.
Sometimes we want to say that though.
Right. But it's like, but this is why the theme of the movie is like, how do we, you know, realize that our kids are out there in the murky ocean without saving them, but giving them the skills they need to swim well with the sharks and the jellyfish.
No, that was good, man. That was a really good kind of tutorial that there is no one answer fits all or one size
really
fits
isn't.
All. You really have to manage it case by case.
It actually leads me to my third point. Here's another way to answer that question. Sean, give us some quick tips on how to equip our kids for bowling. Here's number three.
Okay.
It's something that I think I've kind of alluded to this whole podcast is, here it comes. Number third tip, parenting tip that we can glean from the movie Wonder: thrive as your child's emotion coach, and they will show up when you're not around.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
At Best Western, when you stay three nights this summer, you earn 10,000 bonus points. And while you're reliving your summer childhood road trip memories, they're creating new ones. So check into any one of our more than 2,300 hotels and make more memories to look back on. Here, we'll set the scene.
You put the low right on me.
Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for terms and conditions.
Oh, I love that. Thrive as their emotion coach, and then they will show up when we're not around. As in, they will stand up for themselves.
Because
you won't be around.
The first 20 minutes we see the parents, Owen Wilson, Julia Roberts, and we don't see them very much the rest of the movie.
Yeah,
but
you're
we see these amazing kids showing up. And in fact, even the girls, the daughter's best friend, who was highly influenced by the family, she pretended that they were her family. She shows up.
Yeah, and she does. She stands
up. Like, it's like the parents are all clapping. And so in a sense, it seems like the hero of the story is August, which is true. But you could also make the argument the heroes of the story are actually the parents, man.
Yeah.
Like
the family dynamic.
Like they have done so much right things to parent those kids that way. All three of the kids.
It really takes a village, man. I mean, obviously they kind of spearheaded the whole family dynamic, but then it came to the sister, mm-hmm. the sister's friend, and you know, Augie found a friend at school that stood up to the bully, and it really takes so much to get this all to work out.
I got a story for you. I can't wait to tell you this. Oh, okay, geez. I got two stories. First of all, everybody, I'm filming this podcast in my Toyota Tundra right now. I'm in my truck because
he's
why?
Homeless
because
right now.
I am literally homeless because we had some escrow and some issues come up. And so we moved out of our house. We moved all of our belongings into the garage of our new house, but we couldn't move into the new house.
Right.
So we thought we were going to get an Airbnb to just wait for a week or two. We're like, you know what? Let's go on an adventure. We have a Coleman camping trailer used. And so we are all five of us, my 19, my 14, my 8-year-old, and us and a dog are in a camping trailer in a campground 15 minutes from our house. And we have a large luggages. Like each of us has a big bag.
Sure.
And so it's covered. And I got to tell you, like.
Dude, you got to live stream this. Put up a GoPro.
Happy to tell you. I should.
This is hilarious.
I
got to
tell you, so far, our family, just give you a grade, we're rocking it, man. Like, not a perfect family. We're getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
But I'm giving us a grade of like an A-, at the lowest a B+. The Donahue clan is vibing, man. We're working as a team. We're being kind. We're being patient. We're being gentle with each other. The most challenging roommate is definitely the 8-year-old and then the dog in that order. And so everyone's just working together and we're
doing
it.
How's the morning routine when someone wakes up at 6 a.m. with coffee and then the others want to sleep in, the teenagers?
Again, like, the 8-year-old is so loud, slamming doors. I'm like, I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm like a quiet little mouse out there.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I've come a long way. And like today, you know, I actually left the front door open and it let all this cold air in. So my wife's like, Sean, shut the door. But I was like, okay. So, but I was fine with that. But like, you know, she's just getting my attention because I was cleaning out the tanks. But it's like, we're really doing it as a family. We got bean and cheese burritos for dinner last night.
Delicious.
And we're just.
Oh, I don't know if that's safe though. Bean and cheese burritos staying in a camper with one bathroom.
No, here's another story though. Last episode, I think it was just last episode, you and I talked about something interesting and I want to follow up with it.
Okay.
You and I talked about how in some families, like every week, the whole family goes over to grandma's house or to your abuelo's house, your tío's.
Sure.
Every month, the family's constantly getting together because they live in the same area.
Right. It's lovely.
And we talked about how the concept of you saying to your children, or your children saying to you, excuse me, Mom, I don't want to go to my grandma's this week. That was like, that's so foreign. It's like, no, this is like what we do.
Yeah.
We're going to grandpa's. This is what we do. We're going over your auntie's.
Yeah.
It's like, yesterday I was in a Starbucks.
Okay.
And the barista was this, you know, really this 19-year-old looking young man. He looked about 19 and he had fair skin and he had wavy black hair. Handsome kid. He's got circular glasses on. He's got a little necklace on with a little lightning bolt on. He's got three or four rings on his hands and he's got a name badge that says Alex.
Okay.
And he's like, so how's your day going? What's your day like? And I thought about telling him, well, I'm living in a camping trailer, dog. So I didn't shower today. But I was like, you know, it's going pretty good. I'm pretty good. I'm just going to go do some work over here. And I'm a podcaster. So I'm going to be doing that. I'm on, doing a podcast because I was on somebody else's yesterday. He's like, how about you? What's your plans, Alex? He's like, oh, thanks. He's like, well, it's a Monday. So every Monday I go to my cousin's house. And, we go to my grandpa's house with all of my cousins. Every Monday we do it. I was like, really?
Wow.
He's like, what do you guys do? He's like, oh, we always hang out. We go swimming during the summers every Monday. And we also just went to an amusement park together. I was like, wow. He's like, oh yeah, it's the best. It's like super close with all my cousins. And I'm also like the middle child of the cousins. So there's some younger and some older. So it's like a really fun mix. Like how many are there? He's like, oh, there's about 11 of us.
Wow.
And I'm like, Alex, this is amazing, man. That must feel so good to like grow up with all your cousins. Like, it's incredible. Everyone think about this for a second. Let's think about Alex from Starbucks in El Dorado Hills, California. Alex is going to go through some hard times in his life, right? He can't afford, he cannot avoid the jellyfish or the sharks. He's going to have some painful days, isn't he? But do you, is there a chance that this kid, Alex, this young man, this handsome looking young man who said, yep, I'm just raising an Italian family. This is what we do. We get together a lot. I think there's a chance that he may go through his whole life and never feel lonely.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother. You're right. He's got a he's got a quiver of arrows. He's got an armory of family that he could go to with any problem. He gets into a drinking situation. He's got this cousin he knows he can talk to. Everybody. He has a problem with his mom for a second. He's got this person he can talk to.
My gosh.
I think it's amazing. Cousins,
think about how many uncles, aunts, grandparents.
So many family.
Like, he has, talk about rich.
He has backup.
Talk about success. Like, you might look at Alex, who's 19. He's looking at Starbucks. Nope, he should be there. He should be there. Like, I don't know, Alex, but based on that three-minute exchange I had with him, he just seems like he's one of the most richest. He has, like, 19-year-olds that I've ever met.
Yeah, he has love something surrounding him.
He has something that, you know, most kids do not have. I don't know if he'll ever, like, feel lonely. Like, he's so supportive and probably so loved, that kid.
My favorite thing about Alex, you glossed over it pretty quickly, but could we just highlight the fact that he had a lightning bolt around his neck for a necklace? Just going to say that right now. That's pretty cool.
You know, like a little pendant, you know, a little pendant. I'm going to actually go tell him that I recorded this. I told him, I told the world his story.
Nice.
And how, and I just want to give a shout out to his parents right now and to his family members and say, whatever you're doing over there, I want to be like you. And I
see
want
if you can take
world
a picture with him and put it on your Instagram. I think it's a cool story.
Oh, I will. Okay, yeah. I'll ask him. I'll ask him, and maybe he'll show us a picture with him and all of his cousins, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that, you have all these kids, like this kid from, what state did I say? Ohio.
Ohio.
I mean, dude, the kid is isolated from friends, family, society. Yeah. He's got no cousins. He's got no father. Oh my gosh, my heart is breaking for this kid. And
it's hard.
All these screens. We need less screens and more cousins. When that's how we change the world. I'm going to make a t-shirt. Less screens, more cousins. Less screens, more moms and dads. Less
human
screens,
connection.
More
that's the
connection.
Answer.
Right?
Human connection.
I'm thankful for you because I've been in some really, really dark times, and I've called you. You're one of my guys. And I'm thankful that I have a wife of 20 years. I'm thankful that I can tell my kids. I'm thankful that my cousin lives in Australia, but I could call him. I'm thankful for my two
Australia,
sisters.
Australia, wow.
And I'm thankful for my inner circle of my village here in my city of El Dorado Hills. I need them. I don't have cousins close by. I need them. How about you? What are you thankful for?
That's good, man. Yeah, I think right now a lot of us are kind of reflecting on that, you know, who's in our circle, who's in our quiver, who's got our back, you know,
and if
we don't have an answer to that, maybe we need to figure out how to be more human, right? I'm thankful for, you know, movies like that, really good ones that could kind of help us reflect. I think that's important. You know, society today is so fast. Not a lot of people read anymore. Reading's very important too. If you can read, I mean, this was a book before it was a movie, but if you could find a way to get inspired, I'm so glad that there are people out there willing to do that. So that's what I'm thankful for. That was fun.
People need people. And if you need people, if you need me, call me. Join me in my VIP membership. If you need people, if you need parenting help, call me. I'm here. I would love to help. And if you love this podcast, please, right now, go over to Spotify or Apple or Google, wherever you're listening to this, and leave us a 5-star review with some kind words, and that would be such a good thing to support us and our work here. Much love, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You are a good parent. Oh my gosh, family life and parenting is so hard. I hope today gave you some tools and some inspiration. And if you're enjoying this podcast, then please do me a favor. Leave us a positive review on your podcast provider. And if you're hearing this and you're struggling as a parent, your family is struggling, or you need parenting tools for that one challenging, struggling kid, well, I will see you in a live Zoom call inside my VIP membership, and I will give you the specific tools you need to solve every problem you have and to stay strong, be close, and teach with.
At Best Western, when you stay three nights this summer, you earn 10,000 bonus points. And while you're reliving your summer childhood road trip memories, they're creating new ones. So check into any one of our more than 2,300 hotels and make more memories to look back on. Here, we'll set the scene.
You put the low right on me.
Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for terms and conditions.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.